The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right. Welcome, welcome, welcome to a Wednesday. I hope we're on Progressive Voices. I just noticed my... there we go. Did it go? I hope it went. Let's see. Can I send it? Go? All right. I think we're on. Is this thing on? All right. I don't know about you, but I'm a little out of sorts these days because our whole world has gone berserk, insane. And of course, it's all stemming from this. Somebody leaked a draft, the first draft of the upcoming decision by the Supreme Court on the future of Roe v. Wade. Now, they heard the case, I think, back in December, and it's a Mississippi case that has a 16-week abortion or thereabouts. And, of course, since then, other states have gotten even worse. But they're all lining up, put all these Republican-led states getting their anti-abortion legislation ready to go for the moment that the Supreme Court says, yeah, Roe v. Wade, precedent. Who needs no stinking precedent? Precedent? Yeah. Anyway, when they turn everything on its end, as I said, the show today is titled One Step Up, 50 Years Back. I mean, seriously, Roe v. Wade was decided in 1973. I never, ever thought we would revisit it. I really never thought that my daughter would have to worry, you know, that if she somehow got pregnant and didn't intend to, that she had a choice, that she could control what happens with her body. And I touched on this a little bit yesterday, the whole idea of, you know, Christian Sharia law. And that's exactly what it is. You know, these same people who scream because they're Muslim and they have Sharia law. How dare you? Well, do they not realize that that's exactly what they're doing here? They're foisting their religious beliefs on the rest of us. And you know what? If you want religion, that's fine. Go practice your religion, but don't make me practice your religion. You know? I don't want your religion. David, my husband, sent me this video today. I had never seen it before, but it's, and I have no idea when it's from. I do know that it's Anna Kasparian from the Young Turks. And all I could say is, Anna, you go, girl, because she speaks for me here. Take it away.
These comments might be strong, but it's how I genuinely feel.
Yeah.
I don't care that you're a Christian. I don't care what the Bible says. Like, I feel like it's a clown show, like sitting here trying to decipher what your little mythical book has to say about these very real political issues.
Right.
I don't care if you're Christian. In fact, I will fight for you to have your religious liberty and practice your Christianity. I believe in that. I don't believe in Christianity, which means that you do not get to dictate the way I live my life based on your religion.
Right.
I don't care what the Bible says. You have every right in the world. All those women who identify with your religion have every right in the world to not get an abortion, to not take birth control, but they do not have the right to dictate my life and what I decide to do with my body. I don't care about your goddamn religion.
Yo.
I'm so tired of having nonstop conversations about what the Bible says. You live your life in the way that you interpret the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't care. But you don't get to take the Bible and tell me, well, the Bible says this in this chapter and this verse. I don't care. I don't care. I don't believe in it. And
hello?
I have the right, based on our Constitution, to not believe in it.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. I couldn't have said it any better. That's why I played her saying it. Everything she said, she's speaking for me. Why is that okay? The whole thing makes no sense. And on top of that, we know Republicans are liars. They lie, 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 lie. So there's a couple of things. Now, Lisa Graves is going to join us a little later in the hour. And hopefully you remember Lisa. She's a regular guest on the program, and she's my go-to legal expert. She is, these days, she is the founder, executive director, and editor-in-chief at TrueNorthResearch.org. You can find them. They do amazing work over there. But she has a long, storied legal career. She was Deputy Assistant Attorney General in the Office of Legal Policy at the Department of Justice in the Clinton administration. She was chief counsel for nominations for Senator Patrick Leahy on the Senate Judiciary Committee. She was deputy chief of the Article III Judges Division of the Administrative Office of the U.S. Courts. So if anybody is qualified to speak about judges and how they operate, it's Lisa Graves. And while she's on, I did play We taped it a couple hours ago because she's in demand today. Go figure. So I played the new Midas Touch video because they did such a great job pulling together the liars who currently sit on the Supreme Court. But what the Washington Post did is even better. So check this out. This is a video that the Washington Post put together. It's 36 years of Roe v. Wade at Supreme Court confirmation hearings. My goodness, is this telling. So have a gander at this.
If you are confirmed, do you expect to overrule the Roe versus Wade?
That's Teddy Kennedy. Excuse me, questioning.
Do you expect to overrule
Scalia,
the Roe versus Wade Supreme Court decision if you're confirmed?
Senator, I don't.
That's think a young
it would be
Antonin Scalia.
Proper for me to answer that question?
No, of course not.
The role of the
this
judge
is Anthony Kennedy now.
Is to approach the subject with an open mind, to listen to the counsel, and to look at the facts of the particular case to see what the injury is, see what the hurt is, to see what the claim is.
The issue of Roe v. Wade.
This is David Souter.
Is one which, as you know, on the merits I cannot comment on.
I do not have a position to share with you here today on the proper, whether or not that case was properly decided.
This is something central to
Ruth Bader
a woman's
Ginsburg
life, to her dignity. It's a decision that she must make for herself.
You think?
And when government controls that decision for her, she's being treated as less than a fully adult human responsible for her own choices.
Yes, she is.
The questions that
this
you're putting
Stephen
to
Breyer,
me
just
are
retired
matters of how that basic right applies, where it applies, under what circumstances. And I don't think I should go into those.
Well, I think people's personal views on this issue derive from a number of sources, and there's nothing in my personal views based on faith or other sources that would prevent me from applying the precedents of the court faithfully under principles of stare decisis.
The legitimacy of the court would be undermined in any case if the court made a decision based on its perception of public opinion. It should make its decisions based on the Constitution and the law. It should not
Alito
sway in the wind of public opinion at any time.
Parenthood versus
Sotomayor,
Casey, the court reaffirmed the core holding of Roe versus Wade, that a woman has a constitutional right to terminate her pregnancy in certain circumstances.
The continuing holding
Elena Kagan
of Roe and Doe versus Bolton is that women's life and women's health have to be protected in abortion regulation.
Again, I would tell you that Roe versus Wade,
Gorsuch, lying fuck,
1973, is a precedent in the United States Supreme Court.
Yeah.
It has been reaffirmed.
Yes, it has.
The reliance interest considerations are important there.
Yep.
And all of the other factors that go into analyzing precedent have to be considered.
You
One
lie.
One of the important things
and
to keep in mind about Roe v. Wade.
Kavanaugh. Another
is
liar.
It has been reaffirmed many times over the past 45 years.
I can't pre-commit Amy Coney Barrett. Say, yes, I'm going in with agenda, because I'm not. I don't have an agenda to try to overrule Casey. I have an agenda to stick to the rule of law and decide cases as they come.
Bullshit. So there you go. 36 years of Supreme Court confirmation hearings. And what we can learn from all of that? Republicans lie. They lie through their teeth. Lie, lie, lie. Lie, 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 lie. All right. I promised I would take some phone calls. So let's go to the phones. I think we have Susan on from Washington State. Susan, you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Before I give my issue, I just want to say I'm so appreciative of your coverage of this SCOTUS fail.
Oh, thank you.
Really, you've been covering all angles of it, and I appreciate it. But I've noticed in the press, a lot of people have been saying, well, we're going to go back to 1960s. This is all going to make us go back to the 1960s. Well, I was turned into an adult at the beginning of the 1960s.
Uh-huh.
And I have to say, this is going to be far worse than the 60s.
Oh, yeah.
For one thing, a lot of people may not know this, but this assault on women is horrible. We have right now, without Roe v. Wade being thrown under the bus, we have 1/3 of all the world's incarcerated women in our prisons in the United States. A third.
Yeah.
We're far from 1/3 of the world's population.
True.
I mean, that's just awful. And it's going to go up with this. Look what happened in Oklahoma and Texas. They were trying to put one woman in jail for 20 years for having an abortion.
Amazing.
So this whole thing, we're going to blame the doctors and not the women, is just BS. They're going to just, it's just women's rights are gone.
Yeah.
If we never got the ERA. We still have one state to go, and we still have to repeal the time limit, and we can still get that, and it would take care of this, I think, for the most part.
Right, but we're moving in the wrong direction. We're going backwards, sadly.
We're going beyond backwards to troglodyte times.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, this is going to be far worse. We have a much more policed society now. We have a far right contingent that was not there in the 60s. Everything points to the fact that we aren't going back to the 60s. We're going way, way back.
No, the 60s was a time. Look, the 60s, there was the Vietnam War going on. So I guess there's a parallel with Ukraine, though we're not sending our kids over there to get killed. But you know, the 60s was peace, love, drugs and rock and roll. And that's not where we are now. We're in a much worse place all around. We may go back to the 60s when it comes to government control over women's bodies, but that's about the only place. Everything else is just weirder.
Yes, right. Only the control over women's bodies is going to get worse with the policing we have today.
Oh, yeah.
I really believe that.
I agree.
You know, when you've got Proud Boys being cops, I just saw an expose on that. You know, there's so many things, and of course, climate change. So, you know, I was a child of the 60s. I practically had an erasable protest sign.
Wow.
You know, whether it was the war, women's rights, the environment. Yes, we were fighting climate change in the 60s. People didn't know that, but we were. And I just wanted to throw my two cents in and give you an attagirl.
Well, thank you. It's good to hear from you. I know, Susan, you've been listening for years, and we've communicated online, but I don't think we've ever spoken before.
No, and I usually listen to podcasts at night when I can't sleep because I'm an old lady, and old ladies can't sleep. But I have sympathy for you and your daughter. I have 4 female grandchildren, one of whom is childbearing age, and the others are coming along, and I'm scared to death for those girls.
I am too. I'm really frightened for them. They shouldn't have to go through this, and they shouldn't have other people's religions shoved down their throats, because that's what this is about. It's about religion.
Yeah.
It's about their God, and it's bullshit.
Yeah, because I don't even have a God. And,
nor do I.
And I'm the fourth generation in my family that doesn't
wow.
have a God. So
wow.
I think there were, I think, you know, let them have their religion. That's fine. Just
yeah.
include me out. Please.
Right. Keep your chocolate out of my peanut butter. Right?
I've never seen a religion yet that wasn't run by men and to control women.
That's
and
right.
that's part of our problem here.
I hear you.
It's
loud
not
and
about
clear.
Babies. It's not about babies.
No.
If it was about babies, they'd be paying for the maternity care. They'd be paying for the childbirth. They'd be paying for the support of the child, which they've just repealed.
Yeah.
So it's not about babies. It's about power and control.
And control, of course, because they believe a woman's
yeah.
place is barefoot in the kitchen and pregnant. So. I guess
yeah.
that's where they
yeah.
want to take us back to. Susan, thank you for calling, and thanks for
everything. Thank you so much
everything.
For being there.
Well, my pleasure. Thank you. All right. You take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Phone line's open. Oh, and we got another call already coming in. Hi, who's this? Where's 417 area code? Oh, it looks like I missed him. Oh, nope. It looks like I'm calling somebody. I didn't mean to call anybody. Okay. 954-889-6410 is the number. If you're on Skype, you can Skype in. Nicole Sandler, all one word. I only have the one phone line coming in, and I don't have a screener. So it's luck of the draw. It's if you're in, you call when someone hangs up, you can get right in. Okay, so I've got 323 area code. You hold on, but first, David, yes.
So the problem here is that if men got pregnant,
yeah.
there would be Groupons for available for abortion.
Yes, there would.
And you could get them at a drive-thru.
That's right.
That's number one.
Yep.
Number two, this country was founded by religious fanatics
yeah.
who were also prudes. And as a result of that, anything that has to do with sexuality has to be suppressed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this comes from. But let's also accept the fact that Democrats bear part of the responsibility for this. Look, I love Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She should have stepped down
yeah.
in the beginning of Obama's first term
yeah.
when he could have gotten a Supreme Court justice approved.
Yep, yep.
We would not be in this shit show of a situation had she done that.
Yeah, so. I know. I don't want to blame her, but yes, enough of people staying long beyond when they should retire. You know, and I'm not an ageist. I'm old myself. You're even older. It's not about chronological age. It's about your mindset, your ability.
No, with her, it was about age.
Because she was going to die.
She had had several forms of
cancer.
Very serious, deadly cancers.
Right.
And she should have put the country ahead of herself and her ego.
I know.
Now, another thing that I would like to say, you and I have had this conversation. I would like you or somebody to cover this situation from the male point of view. As someone who has been part of three abortions, it has taken its toll on me and my life as well. Now,
okay.
not as significantly as it would have on women, but nonetheless, I can't say that I have a completely clear conscience about all of this, but it wasn't my choice to make.
Right. I hear you. Okay. Well, and you just gave the male perspective. Okay, 323 caller. Who's this?
Why, it's Brother David. How are
hey,
you?
Hey, Brother David. Oh. I'm good. How are you doing? I'm not
well,
good.
Fight or flight, dear.
Yeah.
None of us are good.
Yeah.
They don't want to take us back to the 1960s. They want to take us back to before the 1860s.
Oh, yeah.
And the of all the many worst things about this is that the language of the leaked brief specifies abortion not being enumerated in the Constitution, conveniently ignoring both the Fourth and the Ninth Amendment
yes,
right to privacy
right.
and other enumerated rights. So where do they stop? We already know from the Ketanji Brown hearings what the battle plan was going to be as far as trans. LGBTQ, you're next.
Yep.
But interracial marriage,
you're next
right to contraception,
too. Yep.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You take down one standing precedent, what's to stop you from taking down the rest of them? On the flip side, the local and high chat room, you know what to do. we all today, David Remnick in The New Yorker did this incredible Talk of the Town piece on Mallory McMorrow, the state senator from Michigan
who was awesome.
She is the template for what the demos must do. For just to retain what we have, even as we're losing it in front of our eyes. It's fight or flight. I don't like to be that negative, but it really is. I'm stuck here through November to support Governor Whitmer, and at the same time, I've gotten the passport updated. I'm just saying.
I hear you.
It's a scary time.
It is very scary times. The thing is, where do you go? And maybe that's a topic for another day. Because I don't know that there's any place on the planet where we can go. But, yeah, we will have to do that.
I'm looking to below Guadalajara myself. But, you know, of course, it's just the idea, as it was in Germany in the 30s, I know that I would be the first on the camps, you know, on the trains. And that's just me. I look at women across this country. And I have to believe, I don't have to believe, I do believe, the sleeping giant that was briefly awakened in 2016 and then apparently took something of a second all, you know, when we got a woman in at the second slot.
Yeah.
It ain't going back to sleep.
Yeah.
Nor should it, nor can it.
No, I hear you. And I'm afraid that, that is where we're headed. Years ago, I'll never forget. I was filling in for Randy Rhodes, and I had Katrina VandenHeuvel on the air as my guest from The Nation. And I remember I got a lot of flack for saying this, but I said, you know, when it finally comes to fighting, it's not going to be the rich against the poor. It's going to be It's not going to be the left against the right. It's going to be the poor against the rich. It's going to be the haves against the have-nots, I believe is what I said. But, you know, now I think it's going to be what wars have been fought on forever. And it's going to be this religious bullshit. It's going to be them wanting to put their Bible on us. And it's the Handmaid's Tale all over again.
It's the Handmaid's Tale. It's the Crusades all over again.
Yep.
And when I said that out to the chat room, I mean, everybody is going to have to take a deep look inside themselves as an individual in this collective that is capital U period, capital S period, and, you know, make that decision. Am I just going to watch it crumble, or at the very least, am I going to fight to the end? And, you know, I'm saying fight or flight.
Right.
I know. I'll be here fighting.
And I don't know what the answer is. I do know that you and I, and I'm speaking to everybody who's listening in this regular, you know, mindset, we're not armed. They are. And that scares the shit out of me, too.
But what scares the shit out of them is that there are still more of us.
Then we better start making noise. We better start making noise and taking to the streets and letting them know that there are more of us than them, because it doesn't seem that way right now.
We're going to Lansing this weekend. They have been nonstop protests out, and it's all over the state.
Oh, good.
This is a purple state.
Well, you know what? Did you hear what happened? So let me tell you this, David, because this is a great story. So, you know, yesterday was election day in Ohio and Indiana, but there was one contest in Michigan. It was, if I can find my notes, it was it was a state assembly seat in District 74 in Michigan. And this woman, the Democrat, Carol Glanville, beat the MAGA candidate, a guy named Robert Regan. She destroyed him by 12 points. It was 52-40 in a very, very red area that Trump won by 16 points. And you know why? Because this idiot Regan, when he won the primary in March, did two things. First, he wouldn't say whether he'd join a state house resolution condemning the Russian invasion of Ukraine, likening the opposition to the issue of some sort of conspiracy theory. But the bigger part was He said, this is a quote from this guy, having three daughters, I tell my daughters, well, if rape is inevitable, you should just lie back and enjoy it. That cost Sleeping him this election. That cost him this election. So we need to amplify their voices and all the crap they're saying and doing.
That's absolutely right. Absolutely right. And the last thing is the other, I'll try to see the shred of sunlight through the closing doors, right? This is a game changer.
Yeah.
The run up to the midterms is no longer going to be about the inflation or the this or even the stuff that came out at the Ketanji Brown Jackson hearings that, you know, oh, that's their playbook. It's going to be about this, followed starting on June 9th by the January 6th findings. As the Chinese curse is upon us, Nicole. Interesting times.
Right.
And
there you go. Well, let's ramp up for it and let's get in shape and ready for the fight because it's going to be a fight. And we need to be louder, more boisterous, more enthusiastic, and stronger than they are.
And you know what? We are.
Okay.
It's now. It's now or never.
It is now or
never. Hang
in
there. Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Good to hear from you. Yes, we are. All right.
You as well. Sir.
Thanks. Bye. All right. Phone lines are open. While I was talking to David, I saw a bunch of you come through, and it's the luck of the draw, and it's Roger in Minneapolis who got through. Hey, Roger. Roger? Uh-oh. I know you're there. Roger, can you hear me? I think he can't hear me. Uh-oh. All right. I'm going to hang up there and wonder what happened. Why didn't he hear me? All right. Well, let's see what call comes through next. It's Roger again. Hello, Roger?
Yeah.
There you are. You didn't hear me before, huh?
No.
That was weird.
Something goofy yeah. was trying to get through.
I hear you.
Can
All right.
you hear me now?
I hear you now. I hear you loud and clear.
Okay. Well, Nicole, I am absolutely horrified by this situation. And I was 13 years old when Roe v. Wade was decided.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And I was a very young, budding feminist. I actually literally bought the very first issue of Ms. Magazine off a newsstand when I was 12 years old.
Good for you.
And became a fan of Gloria Steinem at that time. And I was quite aware of human rights and a woman and anybody's right to determining what happens with their bodies. And I simply saw the right to choose an abortion as part of human rights. And so I was elated when Roe v. Wade was decided. And to now have this happen, it's not just abortion, obviously. It's autonomy over anybody's body, whoever you are. I tell you, habeas corpus is in the balance with this. And I was just actually talking with Jen Senko. You probably
sure the brainwashing her. Of my dad, right?
Right. And she and I see eye to eye on this. I decided to seek out any commentary I could find from Gloria Steinem today. Okay. And I found a clip about 10 minutes long of her having a conversation with Christiane Amanpour. I believe the conversation occurred on Monday. And it's interesting. Gloria seems to be optimistic about the situation. What she points out is that natural law is going to supersede human law here. And that ultimately the just side of this is going to win out. That seems to be her basic message. And I tend to hope that that's true. Meanwhile, I'm wondering what country to move to.
Yeah, well, you know, meanwhile, we're having this conversation and somebody just direct messaged me on Twitter and said, wait, what did he said, don't run, stay and fight. That'd make us exiles, cowards. And my response was, I'm not going anywhere. I can't afford to move. So... But it would be a fun exercise to have.
Laffy.
Laffy's gone to Canada, you know, And right. she's been working on this for 3 years. So I can't say I blame her. But then again, I have a kid, well, you know, so I need to fight for my kid's future.
I have three adult daughters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, mine's now 23, so she's an adult, but she's a young adult. So she's got her whole life ahead of her. And it scares the crap out of me that this is the world I'm leaving her. Not okay.
I know. Well, I never want to hear anybody say it's that the Democrats and the Republicans are equivalent.
The same. Right. No.
Nonsense.
Right. I will shut you down if you go there. Absolutely. All right, Roger, I'm going to run just because I got so many people wanting to get in. Thank you. All right. 417 area code. You've been calling all afternoon. Where are you?
My phone kept hanging up on you. This is Tamara. I had to get
a new
Tamara.
Number.
I've been thinking about how for 50 years these crackpots have killed doctors, nurses, bombed clinics, spit on women as they're going into them.
Yep.
And I think they're screaming about a baby that's a zygote, a thimble full of flesh, when the whole time they were doing it, their children were being raped in their churches.
Yeah. You look at these
for
people.
For 50 years.
Right?
Millions of little boys and girls. And there are millions of them all over
the
this
Catholic
country.
Church, without a doubt. So the Catholic Church, it was endemic. It's built into the system. And the priests who got caught fucking little boys who he was charged leading were just moved to other parishes to terrorize
so
other people.
Destroyed children, it was them.
Right? And then there are
they
the other crazy Christian religions, you know, like the Duggarses came out of. These people, I'm sorry, they have no right to put their morality on anyone else. I'll take my atheist morality over any of these so-called Christians any day of the week. Don't you dare, you know, legislate to me from your pulpit. Yeah, that's
but
the problem.
They've done so much damage to this country that what women do with their bodies is no one's business but hers.
Yep.
And these five Catholics, my mother was Catholic. I was baptized Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been into a Catholic church in 4 decades.
Yeah,
five decades.
Well, I've never. But
the
teachings
go with what you're taught until you wake up.
Right. Yep.
You know.
And I'm surprised
about all those little kids.
Yeah.
Whose souls, their living, breathing souls were destroyed.
Right.
By those five people sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
Because what have they done to stop child rape?
Yeah.
What have they done to stop child pornography on the internet?
Nothing.
And then
they'll throw out these fake conspiracy theories that the Democrats are running a child, sex trafficking ring, and we're eating babies. We're eating
ping-pong pizza.
Like, what the hell? You know, and this is the stuff they choose to believe. It's just insane. Hey, Tamara, I'm going to run just because it's been a busy day.
Bye.
And we got a lot of people who want to get in. Thanks for calling. All right. So here's the deal. I'm calling an audible, as they say. We do have Lisa Graves, but I'm not going to run the interview today. Maybe I'll run it tomorrow in the first half hour before Howie comes on, because you guys want to talk. So let's talk. 954-889-6410, or you can Skype in to Nicole Sandler. You know, I don't know what's going on in the chat room, but I see Diane just wrote Jessica Cisneros and put up her website, Jessica Cisneros or CisnerosForCongress.com or whatever it is. Look her up. You want Jessica Cisneros. Meanwhile, the Democratic Party leadership is going to Texas to campaign for Henry Cuellar, the only member of the House Democratic Caucus who votes against a woman's right to choose. If they had a vote to codify Roe v. Wade, which is what Chuck Schumer says we're going to do, he would vote no. That's who we're talking about here. And Nancy Pelosi went to Texas to campaign for him against a progressive? Fuck that shit. Pardon my French. Okay, 651 area code. Hi, who's this? Hello? I see you're there. Hello. That's Hello. You. Yes, hi, who's this?
Oh, this is Rich from Niles, Ohio. It's 626 area code.
Oh.
That's
who
you got me.
Oh, I do. I have 626. I'm sorry. I noticed the wrong... That was somebody else who was trying to get in. Sorry, the phones have been busy. You are in 626.
No problem. Hey, pleasure talking to you.
Hey.
Yeah, I'm 100% behind you, Nicole. We do need to get off our duffs and fight back. Fight with all we got. Because
yep.
You know what? It's when you lose everything, that's when you get up and you have nothing to lose.
Right.
You've already lost everything.
Exactly.
And it's being taken away from us. Hey, just real quick. Did you see the Nina Turner concession speech?
No, I didn't. I did not.
Oh, my gosh. He lit it up. I want to congratulate her for, even though she lost the race, she actually gave us hope to win the war.
Really? Then I will go.
She laid it out there.
I will go look for it.
You know how.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, you know how, what kind of a speaker she is.
Yeah.
I mean, she just totally reminded me of a dynamic, a young MLK.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, she just laid it out. I mean, you know, and a lot of it is a lot of people say because she wants to run as an independent because she's just tired of corporate media.
I know. And the Democratic Party, the Democratic Party, who's never done anything for her.
Right. And even the Pinos, the progressives of name only,
yeah.
They didn't even back her.
Well,
the only one that came out was AOC, and that was at the last minute.
Oh, good. I didn't know she did. But here's the thing. But here's the problem. And I don't know if you heard the interview with Mark Pocan last week. But this is my problem with the Progressive Caucus. They're letting in people who want to split their loyalties between the Progressive Caucus and the New Dems. I'm sorry. There's no middle ground there. She can either be a right-wing New Dem or she can be progressive.
Yeah.
But she's straddling both.
Yeah.
And therefore, because she's a member, she automatically gets the endorsement. She didn't get the individual endorsements, but she automatically gets the caucus endorsement. And that just sucks.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, because she just joined like the day before she ran.
Well, in the first time.
Ridiculous.
The first time. Yeah.
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 Tons of dark money and even Republican money went against Nina.
That's
that was
right.
Ridiculous.
Yep.
Well, you know, it's because Nina's trying to pull this psyops warfare where it's all about projection. Nina's doing what Trump is doing. She's just like, you know what? I'm going to scare the crap out of you corporatists because I can. And they are. They're scared because she's just calling them out. She's saying she might run as an independent in 2024. And I'm all behind her. You know, I mean, her message, you know, is pretty clear. That we're all tired of the billionaires in corporate America ruling over us.
And
the
we're tired of people.
On abortion?
Right. Yeah, and we're tired of people saying one thing and then taking all this dark money, shady money, money from places they shouldn't be taking it. You know, either step up or shut up.
Nicole,
right?
Yeah. I'm a real Native American indigenous. Okay. I'm half Apache. And white men speak with four tongues. Yes, to this day. Okay.
Yep.
So and the way they treated Ketanji Brown Jackson.
Horrible.
I mean, really?
Shameful.
When they walked out at the end, gutless suckers. Snowflakes. There you go.
There you go. All right.
I'm tired of it. And you know what? Talk is cheap. You know, I say you're right. I say we do get together. And August 28th, the 59th anniversary, the 1963 March on Washington, we should all get together and fight back. Get our country back.
Let's do
what
it.
What do you say?
I'm there. Let's
all
do
right.
it. Let's do it. All right, Rich, thank you for the call. I'm going to move on because now we've got the 651 caller back. Hi, who's this?
Hi, is Winston Smith.
Oh, my goodness. Winston Smith, who's a regular in the YouTube chat room. Hi there. So,
hi.
What's going on, Winston?
I just wanted to call in and say that I think I've seen the biggest protest in my life. Women's March.
Yes.
When
we all participated in on it. Right.
Got
right.
angry. It's going to take more.
It's going to take more.
This time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I agree. And yeah. I'm wondering, where are we? I know a bunch of little protests broke out yesterday around the country. Good. It's not enough. We need a general strike. We all need to just go out on the street, wherever you are, into the biggest intersection and sit. Just sit.
Right.
That's all.
Right.
Yeah.
Stop everything.
Yep.
Nothing gets done. Nobody gets anything.
Except what'll happen is, here in Florida, our Satan for governor will tell you, if they're blocking the street, run them over, because he's given them the right to do that. That's what we're up against right now. And that's why it's even more scary, because we've got fascist. I was going to say the N word, but I won't. Not that N word, the other N word. Fascist dicks in Ron DeSantis. He is a fascist little dick tater.
Oh,
he's
yes.
a tater tot.
He is. But how long can he do this if you put the little girls and the old women up front first?
Yeah. I wouldn't put it. Ron DeSantis.
Well, the optics of that.
Yeah, I know.
We'll lose him the battle.
You would
we'll
think.
We'll lose him the war.
He also put his infants in Trump onesies, so and hoard them out on TV. So who knows?
True.
Yeah.
But really, I think the women of America need to get Icelandic.
Yeah.
Stop everything from moving until equality is reached.
Yeah, I hear you. By the way, I just glanced over the chat room, and J.S. Mandrake says, what would Howie Klein think about your holding Pocan up as any authority? First of all, what? Second of all, I'm not holding him up as any authority. I'm saying he was on the show last week, and he explained how the Progressive Caucus works, or in this case, doesn't work. That's all.
Right.
So I don't know why the criticism, but anyway, I'm just trying to explain. That's all.
Glad you do.
We are in a really, really precarious situation. And the thing that's so hard, it's not like it's a fair fight, because the other side lies about everything. I don't know if you heard yesterday when I was talking about how the they all lie. They're lying about, they have a story to tell. It may be based in their fictional God, but they have a story to tell why they're so anti-abortion, against a woman's right to do with her body what she thinks is the right thing to do for her body, for her family, for herself, for her future, right? But that's not good enough for them, so they have to lie. So more on death sentence, when he signed Florida's new 15-week abortion bill into law, he got up and said... And the thing is, these Democrats, they're not satisfied with abortion as it is. They want to perform abortion up to the moment of birth, even after. I mean, he's making this whole thing up, right? Did you hear that?
Right. They literally make shit up.
They make shit up.
That's all they
have. Right. It wasn't only that. And then yesterday I played this Cassie Smedley, executive director of some bullshit PAC, America Rising PAC, who basically said the same thing. They want to do here. Let me just go in a little bit here and play some of this for you.
Consequences, because the right.
Wait.
Awful.
All right, I want to go past Schumer. Here we go.
Yeah, I think as a pro-life person, you say, what about the rights of the tens of millions of unborn babies that have been relentlessly under attack
by the left for decades
now? We are not talking about the same conversation that happened 40 years ago. Today's Democrats are advocating, in many cases, for the rights to have an abortion beyond the birth of the child. And
most Americans
would say that's not something that sits well with me.
Because it's not true, because they're making this shit up. So, and the thing is, somebody is spreading this within these right-wing cabals, and they're all puking it back up. And the latest was Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz did it on Laura Ingraham's show last night. You know, it's bad enough that they're conflating things and trying to push their God on us, but stop making shit up. Nobody wants to abort a baby after it's been born. It doesn't happen. And people need to stop believing these idiots.
It's amazing. No one has ever wanted that. I the fantasy world they live in is
right.
just
it really is. So I got to the bottom. Let me play for you this.
We all have in our nightmares.
It's nuts. Let me play for Winston. Thank you for calling. You know what? I'm going to run, but I'm going to play for
Absolutely.
You. Thank you for the call. Let me play for you this Ted Cruz clip. So this was from Laura Ingraham's show last night.
The Democrats know that, but they're creating straw men. You know, you look at how extreme they are. Take a look at Ralph Northam, the former governor
okay.
of Virginia.
Yeah.
Up until just a year ago, he was governor of Virginia.
Yeah.
He is also a physician. He did a radio interview
yeah.
where he argued not just for abortion up until the moment of birth, but horrifyingly, he argued for post-birth abortion.
No, he did not.
Which is just flat-out murder in any language.
He did not.
He would deliver a child. He would comfort the child. The child would be breathing, crying outside the womb.
Really?
And then he would have a conversation with
yeah.
the parents about what to do with that child.
No.
In other words, whether or not to kill the
no.
infant he had just delivered.
That
is
not
truly
that,
horrifying
that
stuff.
That is truly a lie. So here's what happened. Ralph Northam did a radio interview. Some asshole Republican made a meme out of it with the bullshit that Rafael Cruz was just spouting there. And here's what actually happened. So the meme I'm reading from Reuters now. The meme falsely suggests that Northam is in favor of legalizing infanticide by leaving out some key contextual references in his remarks. So what they wrote in this meme, they put a picture of a newborn child. It said, "And when it's born, we will make the baby comfortable until the mother decides if she wants it to live or die. Dems are for full-term abortions. God have mercy on their souls when women are legally allowed to kill a child." So that's the meme that they're all drawing from here, right? What this was about, this interview, was about third trimester abortions that are done in cases, quote, where there may be severe deformities. There may be a fetus that's non-viable. Non-viable. Cannot live outside the womb. And he said, quote, "If a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother." He never said you kill it. If the baby wasn't breathing, if it can't survive outside the womb, if the mother said, please keep it alive, they would resuscitate it. The complete opposite of the bullshit they're spouting here. But they keep it going because they perpetuate lies, because that's what they do. They're liars. Liars. You can't believe a word they say. And it makes it really hard to debate somebody or have an intelligent conversation when you can't trust that anything that comes out of their mouth is true. Joy. Hi, Joy.
Hi there. Okay, Nicole.
Yes.
It's time for Lysistrata.
Lysistrata. Lysistrata was a play. In Lysistrata, yes. But here's the thing. You know what? Nobody's sleeping with these men anyway. Who wants to sleep with Ted Cruz? So in Lysistrata, it was a protest against an endless war. And the women finally said, fuck this shit. We're sending our men off to fight all the time. Let's have a sex strike. And they said, until the wars end, no more nookie for you. It wouldn't work here. One, I think, you know, they're all incels anyway. And, who would sleep with Ted Cruz anyway? And this isn't about sex. This is about their dominance over women. This is not about that.
Yeah, well, I would not sleep with my husband, but because he's a decent man.
Right, that's the thing.
But, you know, maybe we just ought to tell possible guys who are this way that, no, you don't get any nookie.
Until what? Until you stop trying to control women's bodies? I mean, I get the want to do something.
It's an outrage.
Yeah, but this is not it, because there are women. There are women who are doing this. You got Amy Covid Barrett doing her little, I'm not going to say that. Ugh.
I don't understand why these women, why women would be on this path, because it's crazy.
Yeah.
I've studied the law for all my life, and it's not, this doesn't make any sense.
No. That is very, none of it makes sense. None of it makes sense.
It's patriarchy trying to take control again.
Yep.
And we have to rebel. I mean, we have to do something.
Well, we do. But the Lysistrata thing is not it. Hey, Joy, I'm going to run because I said I was going to play this Midas Touch bit during the Lisa Graves interview, but I'm not going to play the Lisa Graves interview today. We'll hold it till tomorrow. But I do want to play this clip. So Midas Touch, who does brilliant work, put together another piece dealing with, you know, I played the Washington Post piece with the justices for the last 36 years. These are just the ones who are sitting on the bench now. Let's have a listen to what they all had to say about Roe v. Wade. That starts with Justice Clarence Thomas.
The Constitution protects the right to privacy, and I have no reason or agenda to prejudge the issue.
Right. He lied.
Roe versus Wade is an this important is, precedent of the Supreme
Alito.
Court. It was decided in 1973. It has been challenged on a number of occasions, and the Supreme Court has reaffirmed the decision. When a decision is challenged and it is reaffirmed, that strengthens its value.
He lied. That was Alito.
Roe versus Wade.
This is
decided
Gorsuch.
In 1973. It's a precedent of the United States Supreme Court. It has been reaffirmed, so a good judge will consider it as precedent of the United States Supreme Court, worthy as treatment of precedent like any other.
He lied. Gorsuch lied.
As a judge, it is an
Kavanaugh.
Important precedent of the Supreme Court. By it, I mean Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood versus Casey. Been reaffirmed many times. Casey is precedent on precedent.
Oh, my goodness. He lied. Kavanaugh.
I do not believe that
Susan Collins
will overturn
Roe v. Precedents are overturned all the time.
They aren't overturned all the time.
More,
he views
she
precedent
lied.
Not just as a legal doctrine, but as rooted in our Constitution.
And lied
Neil
again.
Gorsuch, for whom you voted, don't you think he's probably going to vote to overturn Roe versus Wade if given the chance?
I actually don't.
Oh, come on. And again.
Roe is not a super precedent because calls for its overruling have
never
ceased.
Barrett.
That doesn't mean that Roe should be overruled.
They all lied. That's the Midas Touch ad. Lying GOP. Yes? What? David, sorry. What?
In regard to Lysistrata, the fundamentalist women who believe in that shit also believe, and Amy COVID Barrett does, that they are supposed to submit to their husbands.
Oh, yes, they do.
Just like you, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, remember Michelle Bachmann and her man, her manly man. What was his name? I'm drawing a blank. Anyway, yeah, this is what we're dealing with. Okay, we got a call on the line from, I guess, L.A., 213 area code. Hi, who's this? With a noisy phone. Hello? 213? Going once. Going twice. I hear you. All right, I'm going to hang up. So now we got an open phone line. Somebody was on the line from the 213 area code. But again, we've got one line coming in. So it's the luck of the draw. Those fundamentalist women will not deny their man of sex if he wants it, because that's their role. That's their duty. And yes, I said duty. Yeah. Marcus Bachmann. Marcus. Okay, another LA 818 area code. Hi, who's this?
Hi.
Hi.
You know, actually, Gorsuch did not lie.
He didn't?
What he said was a good judge would uphold the precedent. But he's not a good judge.
He's not a good judge.
By omission, if you want to consider omission lying.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's the only technicality, but
okay,
of course.
But let's listen. I've got 15 seconds of Gorsuch here. Let's just hear what he had to say. 15 seconds.
Well, Senator, Casey has settled law.
Casey has settled law.
It's a decision of the United States Supreme Court, right?
Yeah.
And you also have Obergefell and Lawrence. Those are all precedents of the United States Supreme Court entitled to weight precedent, which is quite considerable.
He's talking about precedent. And he had no compunction to overturn precedent. So what? Where does that get you?
Well, one of the other ones you played said, what a good judge will do is uphold the precedent.
Right.
But he...
that was in one of those compilations that I'm just pulling clips when I see them. But yeah, this is not good. And we need to do something about it. And what that something is, I don't know. But
my daughter is 31 years old, and I just had a conversation with her, and we discussed this thing, and she's as horrified as I am. You know, the world that she's inheriting, I said, toward the end of the conversation, I said, well, here's the world the way we made it. Well, enjoy it,
Yeah, it is amazing. And this is why I always say let the young people take over, because you know what? This is their future. Let them fight it out, because obviously we're not doing a good enough job. Thank you for the call. I'm going to run to the next one. 253 area code. Who's this?
This is Dave Strider.
Hey, Dave. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Tacoma, Washington.
Okay. Hi.
Hi. And I was turned on to your show by one of my constituents.
Oh.
I'm a candidate for U.S. Senate in the 2024 run.
Oh, great. In 24. Who are you running against?
It'll be Patty Murray.
Oh, okay.
Or Maria Cantwell. I can't make up my mind right now.
One
of those ladies.
But they're not both up in the same year. You've got two senators for the state of Washington.
Patty Murray is going up this year in 22. Oh. And I ran against Maria Cantwell in 2018. I didn't make it. But it'll be 2024 that I'll be running against Cantwell.
Okay,
again.
So it is Cantwell. So, Dave, what's your last name?
Strider.
Scarter?
Strider.
S-T-R-I-D-E-R. S-T-R-I-D-E-R. Okay, and what are you running on? Why are you better than Maria Cantwell for the state of Washington and this country?
Well, because being a Marine Corps veteran and being the only person in this country who has taken on the federal government and won without an attorney, I'm very strong on him. I'm very strong on the Green New Deal, and that is making it work.
Mm-hmm.
Reducing our carbon. In fact, any question that you asked me, I have a response to, which is pro-America. I supported the Standing Rock protesters. I didn't attend, but I sent clothing, first aid supplies, food, and shoes. And one of the people that got me going on that, and we sent that off there, and now they're wanting to open up the pipeline again, which is not going to benefit us. In fact, if you want to destroy a castle in days of old, what did you do? You destroyed their water.
Yeah.
And that's just what fracking and corporations are doing to our water now. There's not a military base that you can go to and not be exposed to harmful chemicals that not only affect your DNA, but also affect your long-term chances of your family not having their DNA messed up. And I spent 4 years at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, and I'm a two-time cancer survivor. And I like to think of myself as having Kryptonian blood.
Well, here's the thing. You know what? Water is a big issue. And it's not only water, but I'll tell you what else. When the fall, when harvest time comes around and Ukraine doesn't have grains, doesn't have bread, doesn't have grain to make the bread for the world, we're going to see food shortages like you've never seen before. We already have water issues. Things are as bad as they are now around the world are going to get worse. So we have that to look forward to. So I don't know, unless you're working with groups who can get you out there. If you already ran against Maria Cantwell in 2018 and didn't get very far, are you working with any of the are you a progressive?
No, I kind of pissed people off. I was in a forum with eight other candidates, and they were bad mouthing the VA, talking about how bad the VA was, and being a having them save my life twice. it was hard for me to stomach that and even have a position on there. Now, they got 50,000 plus jobs at the VA that are not going to be filled because they want to privatize the Veterans Administration. Just
who
like they?
Who is
there.
They? Who you say they? Who do you mean when you say that?
The oligarchs and the people who are running it right now. And cannabis is a good medicine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is a very good medicine.
Yes.
But it's a Schedule I drug.
Okay.
Which
is ridiculous. Okay. And Joe Biden needs to fix that. And he has just one more thing he hasn't done anything about. All right. We're all over the place here, Dave. So I'm not sure.
In 1977, I petitioned the North Carolina Drug Commission. I was an acting sergeant in the United States Marine Corps working for Judge at the Generals. I was scheduled court-martials over 5,000 a year.
Okay.
And I used marijuana for allergies and for my health. I used it four times a day. I was selected to become an officer candidate.
Yeah.
Where I would have been a prosecutor, and I could not prosecute people for doing something that I was doing four times a day. And every time that we are told not to obey that, we are obeying an unlawful order. That is an unconstitutional order that was made to divide this nation. And it's done pretty good. And I got an honorable discharge from the United States Marine Corps, but you cannot use it at the VA because it's a Schedule I drug. However, I used a lot of edibles and I used everything else. And I was diagnosed in August of 21 with stage 4 lung cancer.
Aye. Uh-huh.
Does it sound like I got stage 4 lung cancer now?
No.
No, it's because I used a lot of cannabis and I paid attention to what my doctors wanted. And I'm a man of faith, and I am here today to tell you that I'm going to be around for a long time.
Okay. All right. Well, good luck with your Senate run. Thanks a lot. We need people to run. I didn't know what else to do there. I think we just needed to end that call. And we are at the end of the program. So, you know, it made sense. Anyway, thank you all for the wonderful calls. There was a lot of great conversation today. I think the bottom line, the underlying thread, is that we need to do something. You know, the Democratic Party has been guilty of inaction for too long. This surpasses party lines. We need to do something. We need to fix the mess. And that's going to take all of us. So let's do it together. What form that takes, I don't know, but we'll do it together. All right. Tomorrow is Thursday. So Howie Klein will be here and Santa Claus. Oh, you know what? I'm not going to be able to play the Lisa Graves tomorrow. Shoot. Well, maybe we can edit because Santa Claus, we recorded the other day because I got to do this thing tomorrow. But Santa Claus, who is running for Congress from Alaska, yes, against Sarah Palin, Santa Claus, that is really his name. Santa Claus will be on with me and Howie tomorrow. And I have Lisa Graves. That's ready to go. But the two of them together run over an hour. So I got to figure it out. And then on Friday, Jason Leopold is going to be here to help us finish up the week. And Jason, the reason is the entire BuzzFeed news division, the investigative news division that's been nominated for Pulitzers and has just done amazing work, they're killing off. BuzzFeed is killing off the BuzzFeed news division. So Jason, as of, I guess now, is out of work, which is just it mind-boggling. So anyway, that's the rest of the week. Tomorrow, Santa Claus, be here. Don't forget, okay? All right. I'll leave you with the news. Thank you. Thank you for keeping me sane today. We got a long road ahead of us and a lot of miles to go before we sleep, I guess. All right. I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks, everybody. Here's the news.
It's time for Nicole Sandler. What's news from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
And in a heartbeat, everything changed. Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts on Tuesday confirmed that leaked draft opinion showing the court is about to overturn the landmark Roe v. Wade decision is authentic, but he noted that it does not represent a final decision in the case. Well, duh. Roberts did vow to investigate the leak of the draft written by Justice Alito and published by Politico.
He condemned it as a, quote, singular and egregious breach of trust. The opinion was marked as a first draft, and it shows unequivocally that the court's right-wing majority had determined that Roe, which established the constitutional right to abortion nationwide, was, quote, egregiously wrong and deeply damaging. Wow. Alito wrote that the 1992 Planned Parenthood v. Casey decision, which limited abortion rights without eliminating them, prolonged the court's error. Well, as you'd expect, protests erupted nationally after the news broke that the high court is going to do what the political right has been working toward for decades, overturning the federal constitutional right to an abortion. The final opinion is not expected until the end of June. And of course, the language could change before it's formally released. Well, as Democrats scrambled for a reaction, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said they'll hold a vote.
First, it is our intention for the Senate to hold a vote on legislation to codify the right to an abortion in law. Second, a vote on this legislation is no longer an abstract exercise. This is as urgent and as real as it gets. We will vote to protect a woman's right to choose, and every American is going to see which side every senator stands on.
And then what, Chuck? As they don't have the 60 votes they would need to get the bill past a Republican filibuster, they also don't have enough support to do away with the filibuster. Of course, the usual suspects, Manchin and Sinema, balked, but even the president said, nah, I'm not ready to do that.
I'm not prepared to make those judgments now.
But President Biden wouldn't go so far as to call for an end to the filibuster to get it done. Therein lies the problem.
Come on, man.
And if you're wondering who the Republican Party is pleasing with this move, well, it's a small minority. In a new Washington Post ABC News poll conducted last week, 54% said the court should uphold the original Roe v. Wade ruling. That's compared to 28% who said it should be struck down. That's roughly a 2-to-1 margin. But if this leaked decision becomes official, the court will uphold a Mississippi law banning abortion after 15 weeks of pregnancy, and it would also trigger automatic bans in at least a dozen other states. Former President Barack Obama and former First Lady Michelle said the conservative majority's draft decision would, quote, relegate the most intensely personal decision someone could make to the whims of politicians and ideologues. The president of the European Commission on Wednesday proposed banning imports of Russian crude oil over the next 6 months in what could be the European Union's costliest measure yet to punish Russia for the invasion. The plan also calls for halting purchases of refined oil products by the end of the year. But Slovakia and Hungary on Tuesday said they would not back this embargo, saying they were too dependent on Russian oil and natural gas and would not be able to replace the lost supply. The 27 members of that trading bloc are expected to start discussing the embargo on Wednesday. This would be part of a sixth sanctions package from the European Union. Well, here we go. Primary season is off and running. Ohio and Indiana kicked it off on Tuesday. In Ohio, Rob Portman's impending retirement leaves open a Senate seat. On the Republican side, author and Trump toady J.D. Vance, yeah, not J.P. Mandel, rode the former guy's endorsement, if that's what that was, to victory over fellow Trumper Josh Mandel and Matt Dolan, who was the only Republican in the race to disavow Trump. His late surge in polling in recent days wasn't enough to get him past Mandel, but he did close in on him, finishing only about a half a point behind him. Vance will face Democratic Party nominee Ohio Representative Tim Ryan in the general election. Ryan, whose campaign calls Vance a phony and an elitist, easily won his primary against Morgan Harper, a progressive former attorney at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. And finally comes news that the former guy's company and his 2017 inaugural committee has been ordered to pay the District of Columbia $750,000 to settle allegations they misspent money raised by the nonprofit inaugural committee and used it to enrich Trump's family. Come on, you knew that was coming, right? Well, D.C. Attorney General Carl Racine on Tuesday said, quote, no one is above the law, not even a president. Well, neither the Trump Organization nor the committee admitted any wrongdoing. The case involved more than $1 million in alleged improper payments to the Trump International Hotel in Washington, D.C. Trump said in a statement that the case was, quote, yet another example of weaponizing law enforcement against the Republican Party, and in particular, the former president of the United States. So bad for our country. Of course, my question is, when do the criminal charges kick in? And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.